Well, welcome once again to Legacy Leadership Alliance. I am Bishop Sean Cooper, and welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited about what we're going to be talking about today, and I believe that it's going to impact your life dearly. But let me tell you just briefly about Legacy Leadership Alliance. Of course, we're only a year and a half old. We are unfolding all that God put in our hearts concerning leadership. And so Legacy Leadership Alliance is a strategic alliance committed to expanding the kingdom of God by collective impact. We have a fourfold mission, which we call Four Points of Light, and that is a formalized succession plan, number two, mentorship and development, number three, pastoral kids alliance, and number four is pastoral infrastructure. Really excited about the future as we continue to formulate Legacy Leadership Alliance. Of course, we use Legacy Leadership Alliance podcast for the purpose of speaking to leaders. Whether you're a thought leader, pastor, entrepreneur, business owner, creator, innovator, educator, we will speak the language of leadership to you. And I think it's going to be quite informative as well as transformational to those that seek the heart of God and want the purpose of God to be unfolded. I heard someone say that we are at the dawn and beginning of a new era. The first hour of creativity is upon us. Thinking differently has become the new economy. So we are not late. In fact, we're right on time. So I want to talk to you about keeping your edge. Of course, we're in the season of the coronavirus, and it seems that so much has been disjointed. But you know, it seems to me that God is doing a divine reset, and this is something I've been preaching on, a divine reset, and God is putting the pressure upon high-level leadership, meaning directional leadership, organizational leaders, revelatory leaders, directional leaders. God is allowing us, or let me say, God is giving us an opportunity, and he's putting the pressure upon us to push out potential. Many leaders are under pressure, but this pressure is not to kill us. It is to develop. It is to provoke us. It is to compel us. It is to promote us. It is to build us. It is to make us, but not break us or kill us. Even though you may feel like you're getting ready to die. No, this is a great moment. And I guess it is, how do we navigate through this as leaders? I mean, how do we really, you know, get the mind of God in the moment and respond evangelistically, respond with the pastoral dynamic, you that are pastors, and we ought to feed, lead, cover, protect, and correct the sheep? And at the same time, what is the strategies going forward? I feel like we have no alternative but to reinvent ourselves. When I say reinvent ourselves, I don't mean become another person. I mean to keep up pace with the changes and the shifts of society. You know, the behavior patterns associated with the economics, social, political, educational, religious, all of these systems of the world has changed. And in many cases, it has spun the church into an identity crisis. Could it be that God has allowed this virus? He's allowed the virus. He's sovereign, so we know that he allowed it to happen. Could it be that one of the main objectives of this, of course, we know that the world may be saved, to preach the gospel, but also we as leaders to provoke potential or to cause that which is dormant to begin to come alive again. Sometimes you get stuck in vision, so you got to revise the vision or revision. And I think in many cases as leaders, we have been addicted to systems that have worked, or we thought they have worked. In other words, some of our systems has literally lost its impact. And we have been addicted to inreach and not outreach. In other words, the four walls have caved in on us, and we have lost the oxygen of vision to move beyond the four walls. Well, the Lord has kicked us out of the four walls. You know what I'm saying? We cannot have traditional church as we used to. So it puts us in a position, and some of us in an awkward position, because, of course, at New Creation Family Church, man, we purchased some equipment and wanted to perfect our social media ministry. We've done that, got new cameras and new software. And this is prior to the coronavirus, and learning all of the software by itself is, you just got to pull your hair out. So we were already headed that way in 4 or 5 years. We've done some outreach ministry uniquely and innovatively. But this here has still, even though we've been prepared or somewhat prepared for this moment, it still puts a demand on creativity, innovation, and to be able to think future tense, because we don't know basically how all of this is going to pan out, right? So we have to keep our edge. What does that mean about keeping our edge? So I think that one way we could keep our edge is refuse to live in the shadows as leaders. Whether you are a pace setter, you're an entrepreneur, you're an educator, a pastor, leader, we keep our edge by refusing to live in the shadows. Things that happen in the earth, like the coronavirus and other things that happen suddenly, sometimes make us feel incompetent, insecure, or $1 short and a day too late. You know what I'm saying? We feel that way. But to not lose your edge is to refuse to live in the shadows, to refuse to allow the present-day conflict to be your measuring stick, to suggest to you that you cannot overcome or you cannot be prevalent or progressive. This reminds me in 2 Samuel, and some of you leaders know this, 2 Samuel 23rd chapter, it's about that 20th verse of a character in the Bible called Benaniah. The scripture says that Benaniah was a fighter, that he performed so many great exploits. The Bible says that he killed a lion, struck down a lion, and two Moabite men. You know, he was able to kill them. They were 10 feet tall with a weaver beam. In fact, the Bible says that he snatched the spear out of the enemy's hand and killed him with his own weapon. That's what I call one that refused to live in the shadows. You see, people who live in the shadows will never become what they ought to be. They only become a reflection of themselves or their true self or a faint image. Shadow seekers love the shade. So, you know, this is a great story that puts the emphasis on someone that refused to allow what was bigger, better, more prevalent, stronger, to take precedence over his particular destiny. No doubt the lion came in his territory, and the Bible said that he killed the lion and these two Moabite men on a snowy day. Now, I want you to think about that. Everything is against him. He has no advantages for the exception of willpower that God gave him this territory. God gave him this ground. He was not looking for the lion. Neither was he. The scripture did say that he pursued them. And the reason why is because they pursued him. In other words, they were on his territory. And I think that, you know, because we live in this fast-paced generation, technology is moving at an accelerated speed. We've been clipped, tripped, blindsided by this virus that has literally interrupted all of our strategies. So it is a type of the Moabite men, 10-foot giants and lions coming in our territories to suggest we can't win, we can't overcome, we can't be productive with the gospel, but the devil is a liar. And I think to be impactful right now is to choose to not live in the shadows and just let things remain as they are. You know, the scripture says about Benaniah, and I think it's relevant to what we're talking about here, about refusing to live in the shadows. The scripture says that even though he was not rated among the three top soldiers in his rank, he was just as great as they were. Now, I think that's relevant to us as leaders because sometimes, and especially now that we have to reorganize, re-strategize, a lot of times we feel that we are incompetent. We are not effective. We watch others that have done perhaps better, or we may assume they have done better in their ministry and their online. They're reaching a lot of people, and we look at our, you know, how many likes that we get and things of that nature, and we allow that to affect our faith, or we start looking external to determine our inward wealth. But I love this about Benaiah, because even though he was not with the greatest rank, he was just as important and he had just as much as impact. And the reason why is because he was not looking at other people's battles. He was looking at the lion that was in his territory and the two Moabite 10-foot giants that was trying to take his territory. In other words, as leaders, we got to stay in our lane and run our race and not get into measurements, because that would undermine your focus, it would cripple your destiny, and would cause you to sit on the sidelines, second-guessing what God has put inside of you. But as a leader, you can't tolerate that type of attitude. It will literally undermine your purpose. Let's think about this. Now, let's be real. A lion can reach 10 feet tall from head to tail and weigh 550 pounds. See, Benaiah had his own lion that he had to face. He couldn't worry about the other three that was in higher ranking. They had their own lion. And you know, what is awesome about leadership is that God will make sure that everybody have their own personal lion. Whether you have 10,000 people on your particular account in your church, customers, or you have 100 or 10, everybody have their own lion, Goliath, bear, like experience that you have to fight. And if you live in the shadows, you'll shadow box. Shadow boxing is just for form, but you don't hit nobody and nobody's hitting you back. Shadow boxing is a safe place. How you test your skill is when you get in the ring with another opponent that is not just going to let you punch, but they're going to punch you back. This right now, what we're going through is beyond the shadows. We are in a fight with our personal lions and our personal Moabites. And we cannot be feeble. We cannot be fearful as leaders. So once again, the first is, as it relates to keeping your edge, is committing to not live in the shadows. And I think the second, and I want to say this real quickly before we go, and we may pick up with this the second point, and that is you have to have grit. Because as a leader, grit gives you power, persistence, and purpose to vision. And the principle of grit is like, I believe, like a grinding tool which wears out or wears down its subject by consistency and commitment to the future. You keep your edge by maintaining a spirit of grit. This is a moment that we have to pray it out and grit it out. But we cannot quit. You see, grit chisels its opposition. In the process of labor, when you're laboring and you're working, grit releases commitment, I believe. And your commitment resuscitates new levels of energy that was lost through the conflict. I'm talking about leadership grit. I love when I watch a good basketball game. Generally, it don't get good until the second half. Then they got to grit it out, work it out, fight it out. And this is the moment that we as leaders cannot relax in the safety zones of unbelief, but we have to be fully engaged in the moment and understand that this is not the time to live in the shadows. This is not the time to become faint-hearted. This is not the time for us to get off focus, but we must stay on our mark. We must stay faithful and focused. We cannot let the trouble, the tribulation, the constant moves and shifts and things of that nature make us drunk to the degree that we lose vision, we lose focus, we lose passion, and it starts minimizing our impact due to all these distractions. Well, my time is up, and I want to encourage you once again to stay on your edge. Refuse to live in the shadows. Well, I love you. Hey, why don't you send this podcast to a few friends? Also, I have my new book, The Journey to Greatness. It will change your life forever. Please, by all means, continue to tune in. I pray that your life will never be the same. Remember, it is better to live by principle than to die by impulse. You go with God and be blessed.